check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome, everybody, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And I just want to start off today by saying happy Eclipse Day. I'm so glad to see all of you here in the Ed Sullivan Theater because it means that my eclipse glasses worked. And then my retinas are still intact. And I need those retinas for important stuff, like staring at my phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. Everybody see it? Everybody get a chance to see it today?
Crazy.
Did I see it? It was an amazing thing to see. Here at The Late Show, we moved up rehearsal so we could all go outside and watch. And as beautiful and otherworldly as eclipses are, there is a simple scientific explanation. For a brief moment, the dread god Telebrion devours Mother Moon to punish gentle Talaoth, the man within. That's why we always ring the bell of noontime darkness to frighten Telebrion back into the horn of dusk. Wow. I learned all that from Neil deGrasse Tyson. A few lucky people got to experience today's eclipse from 30,000 feet. Because some airlines offered special flights to chase the eclipse path around the country. Okay, I mean, that sounds cool, but the windows are over here. Sun's up there. Even the plane does barrel rolls. What if you're in the middle seat? Could you just lean back a little? Open the shade? No? Okay, fine. Well, then I get to watch Napoleon. Of course, an eclipse is always a good opportunity to ponder our place amongst the stars. But it's also a great time to see your pets go crazy. In fact, scientists warn pet owners that their furry friends may exhibit strange behaviors. And I'm being told we have footage of one dog during the eclipse.
Out of my way!
It happened. Yeah. That was happening. That was happening all over.
Yeah.
The line of totality. That's on the totality only. It's not just pets. Experts also said that most animals would likely be confused by the darkness and start their nighttime routines. Oh. Animals have nighttime routines? Watch as the giraffe exfoliates with a water-based cucumber cleanser, while its predator, the lion, plugs in its CPAP machine. Oh, no. It forgot the distilled water. The eclipse started its trip across America down in Texas, and CNN announced the event with this chyron. Animals at Dallas Zoo react to total solar eclipse. Thank you, CNN. That is news you can use. I wish they'd give more animal takes on current events. I want to see breaking ring-tailed lemur reacts to RFK Jr.'s VP pick. Okay, CNN. How did the animals react?
We started hearing like a lot of more bird chatter out in the distance out there. There's some guinea fowl that started running around and making, you know, kind of crazy sounds. And then we actually saw one of the younger giraffes start galloping around. A zebra started chasing him.
That's right. The eclipse caused zoo animals to do the unthinkable. Anything. Usually they're too depressed and just standing in one part of the enclosure where no one can see them. But, okay, CNN guy, didn't you forget to tell us the best part?
I forgot to tell you guys the best part. Literally seconds ago, right before we came on the air, if you look between those two tree trunks, there was an ostrich that laid an egg. And the ostrich was kind of standing over the egg for a moment. I can't tell you if she laid the egg at this particular time because of the eclipse or what the deal might be. But even the zoo folks here were kind of curious about the timing of it all.
No offense, but laying an egg is one of the things ostriches do. Not sure if that's news. Call me when an ostrich poaches an egg. But that is by no means the dumbest coverage of this eclipse, because Fox News decided to cover the story like this.
A Fox News alert, a rare celestial event collides with a policy failure on the ground. The southern border will be directly in the path of totality today when the moon covers the sun.
While everybody's going to be looking up, if you're looking down here at the border, here's some of what you're going to see. You'll see illegal immigrants dressed in dark clothing, sometimes camouflage, actively trying to sneak into the United States.
Yes. Oh, yes. Immigrants in dark clothing are using the eclipse to sneak across the border. They won't get another opportunity like that. Until night. Of course. Of course, Donald Trump had to make the eclipse all about himself. He posted this bizarre ad that was made by one of his fans. That is a hell of a campaign message. I will bring darkness upon the earth, blocking out all the life-giving warmth, driving the animals to stark madness. Give me that ostrich egg. Daddy wants a giant McMuffin. Give it up. Yeah. Here I am. Ooh, one thing they left out of Trump's eclipse commercial was the time he stared directly at the eclipse, which is why this year President Biden released his own eclipse video.
Folks, enjoy the eclipse, but play it safe. Don't be silly.
Yeah, folks. I tell you, folks, you got to protect your eyes, folks. No joke. That's why I'm doing this with double shades right there. Whoa, how'd it get so dark? Don't worry, everything's fine. I'm just a tall, unsteady old man alone by a low balcony railing who can't see a damn thing. Marco! Marco! There you go. Was Joe Biden just here? It's been an interesting week here in New York City because in addition to the eclipse, on Friday, the East Coast was hit by a rare 4.8 magnitude earthquake. I think we'll all remember where we were when we said, "What's that sound? Is my neighbor making a smoothie?" And at the time, and this is true, I was at Newark Airport. I was flying down to South Carolina for the weekend, and I was in line at the Dunkin' Donuts buying my Affleck juice when suddenly the ceiling of Terminal A started shaking and the lights were swaying, and I thought, why would they put a truck ramp on top of an airport terminal? That doesn't seem sustainable. Then everybody's looking at their phone saying, hey, there was an earthquake. And after all that, my coffee still wasn't ready. Okay, America may run on Dunkin'. I'm just saying Dunkin' needs to pick up the pace. Even though it was barely a tremor, we did get some fun footage from the Statue of Liberty. Look at that. Reminds me of that famous poem. Give me your tired, your poor, your whoa, whoa, whoa. Lady Liberty wasn't the only landmark getting in on the action. The Empire State Building tweeted, I am fine. It's nice to know. It's comforting.
That's nice.
You don't want anything to happen.
She did.
While the Port Authority bus terminal tweeted, kill me.
Wow.
Poor Port Authority. Wow. What did it ever do to me? While no one was hurt, there were some dicey moments, specifically for a Pennsylvania man who got a vasectomy during the earthquake. Ooh, that is scary, especially since he went in for a root canal. The man is totally fine, but according to the patient, when the doctor said he was pausing the operation, I figured he was messing with me. Yeah, Because if there's one thing urologists are famous for, it's doing tricks. All right, I'm going to make a small incision and whoa, hey, who put all these handkerchiefs in your taint? An earthquake directly followed by an eclipse feels a little apocalyptic. Well, there is one Armageddon foretelling phenomenon that's actually kind of fun because the Italian volcano Mount Etna is blowing smoke rings into the sky. That is so cool.
That's great.
I mean, how does that even happen? Jim, can we take a closer look inside that volcano? Okay, there we go. Okay, we're descending down the caldera. And I knew it! It's your college roommate, Dan! Come on, Dan! These smoke rings seem innocent enough, but back in the 17th century, Etna buried the town of Nicolosi. So Italians, please stay safe, or at least make sure you're in a cool pose for future archaeologists to uncover. Everyone should have one ready. I'm either going with double guns or copper tone baby. Speaking of...
Wow.
Speaking of the end times, Donald Trump. This weekend, Trump held a fundraiser down in Palm Beach where his campaign claims he raised an eye-popping $50 million. Wow, that is impressive. Or not, because so far the amount has not been verified. That has big, my girlfriend at summer camp was so hot energy. Yeah, me and Brenda, we kissed the French way, so it's so sexy, you can't verify it. And then she gave me $50 million. At that price, Trump had to play all the hits. So naturally, it got real racist about immigrants saying, why can't we allow people to come in from nice countries? Nice countries, you know, like Denmark. Maybe because people don't tend to flee one of the happiest countries on earth. Astrid, we have to get out of Copenhagen. The furniture design is too functional. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
My guest tonight is a three-term Democratic congresswoman from New York. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. It's nice to see you again. It's been too long.
It has been.
There's a lot to catch up on, but I guess the first thing we should talk about is the big story of the day. Did you take in the eclipse?
I did. My puppy and I went to the Lexington School for the Deaf in Queens and hung out with all the kids.
Is that what this is? Is this your puppy?
Oh, yes.
There you go. Play it safe,
that's
kids.
That's Deco.
Play it safe.
That's Deco. He had his protective eyewear, too. So.
Okay, good. Now, I know you're a congresswoman now, but you wanted to be a scientist originally, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Where is this?
Oh, my God. This was at the Intel ICEF science competition. That's me in high school. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Now, Congress returns, is it tomorrow? After a two-week break?
Yes, tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow, 2-week break. And you,
you made a lot of news mm-hmm. for giving a speech on the floor of the House mm-hmm. Before the break. And we're coming up on, we're just past 6 months mm-hmm. of the war of between Israel and Gaza mm-hmm. and the unfolding crisis over there. And this the heartbreak and the horror of asymmetrical war. The horrors of the attack of October 7th Absolutely. And the horror that people see of the innocent lives lost in the military response. The tens of thousands of lives being lost there. But you took it a further step. I think you were the first person to do this on in the Congress. Mm-hmm. You said... You call the famine in Gaza an unfolding genocide. Mm. That is an electric term to be using against the actions of a country that was formed in the wake of the greatest genocide of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. If politics is the art of the possible, mm-hmm. you're a politician. What did you hope to make possible by going that far in your description?
I appreciate the extent of that question. And while I was not the first in Congress to use that term, it certainly was a dedicated speech towards it before the beginning, or rather the end of that session. And to me, what I saw in that moment is that we have been on the precipice of a mass famine that would indiscriminately kill nearly a million children, adults, innocent people, men, women, and children. And this is an utterly heartbreaking moment. As you mentioned, the attacks on October 7th were horrifying. The hostages that are being held in Gaza are also being endangered and imperiled by an indiscriminate famine and bombardment campaign as well. And it's important that they be home. But I think in using this term, it is not to engage in a game of rhetoric, but it is for us to see what is happening for what it is. I am very, very close. Growing up, one of my closest friends is a survivor of the Rwandan genocide, and I've been speaking with him a lot while all of this has been unfolding. And I asked him, what would you have wanted to see an American member of Congress say while you were a child fleeing Rwanda? And what he had told me was, I wish people would have seen us as human, because genocide is a crime of scale, of dehumanization. And in order for us to prevent and to save lives, we have to rehumanize the people whose death has been normalized. And I think that's really what this moment is about in order for us to establish a lasting peace and security for both Israelis and Palestinians.
Well, the president of the United States, the leader of your party, Joe Biden, a staunch supporter of Israel, he's a man also with an enormous amount of empathy. I'm curious, have you spoken to him directly about this?
I have.
And what have those conversations been like? If you can tell me.
You know, I think I think it's important. I think many of us have engaged the president on this issue. And you're correct, he is a man of tremendous empathy. And you know, I think as time goes on, we are starting to see the increased urgency that he's seen on this issue. He called Prime Minister Netanyahu recently. And I think we've seen dramatic shifts since that time, especially after the World Central Kitchen workers were attacked and seven of them passed away. And I think what we're seeing, particularly in this moment, is aid trucks starting to come through, although nowhere near the level needed to avoid a famine. But we're starting to see some of that progress, because at the end of the day, in order to take this, it's not just about, and I said this on the floor, it's not just about Israel, it's not just about Gaza. This is about us, because this is U.S. taxpayer assistance and what is being financed with our resources. And if anything, if any conflict is going to have U.S. resources, then it does become a matter of our values. And if we are to protect democracy worldwide, we have to show what democracy is good for. And to me, showing the value of democracy is a commitment to human rights, to the sanctity of civil rights, the rules of war, and to ensure that people, at the end of the day, that the humanity of innocent populations is preserved and protected at all costs.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, everybody.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
In the Democratic primaries, this crisis has already had a impact on our politics here. Israel and the Palestinian crisis always has some effect. It's part of our political conversation in the United States. But there has been a very interesting and very direct one in the primaries. Mm-hmm. In just last week, 15% of voters in Rhode Island, 11% in Connecticut, 8% in Wisconsin voted uncommitted to protest the U.S. support of the present military action in Israel under Netanyahu's government. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you make of that movement? And do you have anything as a prominent progressive voice to say to those people
mm-hmm. yeah.
who are holding up their support over this?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important. We need to acknowledge, actually, the upside of the uncommitted movement, which is that these are folks that could have easily given way to cynicism and walked away from this process entirely. And what they're doing instead is using the primary to send a message and say, this is important to me, to the president. This is important to me. I'm going to engage in our democratic process. I am going to show up. I am going to vote. I am going to say what's important to me. But I also know, and I do believe that many in the uncommitted campaign believe this, I also know and understand the threat of a Donald Trump presidency. The Democratic Party has always been a coalition party. And we have to bring everybody together every time because that's what it means to be American. And so they are offering and saying, this is what's important to us. A lasting peace is what's important to us. And this is the message we want to send before the convention. It's the message that we want to send before the general election because we are committed and put together on all of these values. And on the other side of this, too, beyond the uncommitted campaign, on the other side of the spectrum, there is an enormous $100 million financed operation to primary virtually any sitting member of Congress that calls for a ceasefire. So you have Jamal Bowman here that has a primary challenge, Cori Bush that has a primary challenge. I myself now just have a primary challenge just for saying that Palestinians deserve human rights and that they should be protected. And so we do have a complex political fabric around this issue in this country. I think that it should be centered and where our home base always is what are our values as Americans? And if our commitment to lasting peace, global democracy, and our own values for freedom of speech and liberty, then if these are the values that we want to protect, then we have to acknowledge and see one another for the pain that we're holding. And once people feel like their concerns have been seen, then we can start the process of coming together. And so right now, these are folks who want to be seen. I think they're using this process to be seen. And it's best that we do that now than for folks to stay home in November.
So respond to this now is what you would recommend the Biden administration to do
yeah.
so people can trust his judgment in the future. Before we move on to the next subject, will you be voting for Joe Biden?
I will be voting for President Biden in November.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
We have to take another little break here, but if you'll stick around and you'll stick around, we'll be right back with more Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover
inside the house there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Local Congresswoman made good, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Today, the White House announced plans for a new student debt relief program. Mm-hmm. That you personally worked on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell me about it.
So there are over 40 million student loan borrowers in the United States. Today, President Biden just unveiled a plan to offer relief in some way, shape, or form, either complete or partial, to 30 million of them. 30 million student loan borrowers are going to start seeing relief.
Just because I know... how recently this was you. Are you one of the people who will benefit from this program?
Now, I don't think I will be. Actually, I'm going to be one of the few that doesn't. I'm a member of Congress. I'm a little bit outside the threshold and bounds. But if I wasn't, you know, just a few years ago, waitress me 5 years ago would have benefited from it. Congresswoman me will not, but that's okay. I'll take the knock if it means that that people can get relief. And, you know, this is huge. This is... people getting the student loan forgiveness, their student loans canceled, it means that, you know, it's hope to buy a house or have a kid or travel abroad or maybe even go back to school and you know, pursue a career that maybe they otherwise wouldn't have. I mean, one of the reasons that's not me now is because I didn't feel like I'd be able to afford medical school. And so hopefully someone else who's at an ICEF competition somewhere will be able to do that because of this. So
now, as Congress comes back in, everyone's going to be watching Mike Johnson and how he wrangles his slim majority, which is one now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In what has become, you know, one of the least effective Congresses since yes. the Great Depression. It's always great to add, since the Great Depression, in any sense.
Yeah.
But also, he's got this completely unruly congressional caucus himself. Republican Congressman Mike Turner and Michael McCaul said that Russian propaganda has infected the Republican Party's base and that Republicans in Congress were repeating Russian propaganda on the House floor. Can I get a witness? Have you seen this? And what do you make of that kind of self-accusation?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you turn on any House oversight hearing in the last year, you will see Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and all these folks engaged in wildly propagandistic rhetoric. And I mean, even let's just rewind a second. We just went through an impeachment attempt on the president of the United States that was started with a source that Republicans used that was in communication with Russian intelligence. So you have not just the bottom bench here. You have the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Representative Comer, take quote-unquote evidence, an account from someone who was working with the Russian intelligence and tried to impeach and remove the president of the United States over it. This is serious.
How did they not know that, or did they know that this was connected to the Russians? Or did they not figure that out because they hadn't translated from the Cyrillic?
That, I think, is a very excellent question for Chairman Comer, because...
he won't come on.
I mean, it is a good question, because when they hauled us all into the SCIF, which is a confidential space to look at this, we were looking at this document and it's like, is this for real right now? And they proceeded. And so what they felt was in good faith or bad faith, I don't know. But I do think that it is immensely serious that something got to this extent and got this far and has been platformed to the extent that it has. And thankfully, under ranking member Jamie Raskin, we were able to stop them in their tracks as well. So,
well, as we know, as we've discussed, you know, Congress is also all up for election in November. There's a one-seat majority for the Republicans. How confident do you feel about the Democrats retaking the House this November?
I believe Democrats will retake the United States House of Representatives.
Okay. Well, Congresswoman, thank you so much for being here. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.